I am super excited to be here. I love this this value that we have, and we're going to spend some time tonight talking through it and encouraging you through it. And so I just excited to be here. I'm excited that you're here, that you chose to be here tonight. And so we're not going to waste your time. We're gonna get into it right now, and we'll let's just go. I love sports. I've been playing sports since I was 9, 10 years old. All my three kids play sports. And so when you see these bleachers over here, my rear end is formed to those bleachers, because every park that we go to, every football game that we are at, my daughter's playing volleyball, there's bleachers. And so you sit in them because your kids are playing, and you know, that's what you do at sporting events. And so I think I've hit every bleacher on the east side somewhere, between all the high schools and between the parks. And there's some interesting observations that I've gotten watching and sitting in the bleachers. Most people really try to be comfortable in the bleachers, you know, because they're the hard surface. Either they bring a cushioned seat, you know, that hooks on, and it's got the, you know, their team in, you know, imprinted on there, or they bring big tents. My son's playing football right now, and so when we play at the high school, the parents sit up in these stands, and you see these little pyramids of tents, right? So they're trying to keep themselves comfortable, and then the amount of food that we need to intake while we're sitting in bleachers is just insane to me. I look after, you know, people leave and they don't pick up their trash, and the amount of food and nachos is the one that gets me all the time, because there's leftover cheese and it usually gets everywhere. But they sit back and they want to be comfortable. We enjoy and we want to cheer on what's going on the field or on the court. And so I've had some really cool opportunities. I got to seat 5 rows back on the third baseline in Chase Field when my San Diego Padres, when Tony Gwynn was playing, and I got to sit down right on that third base dugout and watch a game, and that was really cool. But there's times where I've sat at other games where I am so far up that it looks like little anteaters are playing the game. You know, they're like, those, and they hit a foul ball, and it looks like it's a home run, and it ends up going to like third base. So, the depth perception is way off. And so one thing is, I got a call. It was before I was married, and I got this opportunity. My friend called and said, hey, can I pick you up right now? I've got an opportunity to go to a Suns game. And so I got the tickets. We're just going to drive up there, go to the Suns game. Can you go with me? And I'm like, Suns game, sure, let's go. So we drove up, and we got in the tickets at will call, and we were going in the door. And I was, you know, my natural stance when I go into a stadium like that is always to go up, because I never get to go down. You know, when you walk in the corridor, you're like, hey, where's my seat? Because I'm going to go up there. So that was my natural stance. I went up, and he's like, where are you going? And I was like, well, isn't that where we're sitting up there? And he's like, no, I think we're sitting down here. And so we went down to the middle section, and then we kept on going, and we kept on going. We ended up sitting courtside at the Suns game. Who would like to sit courtside at the Suns game? It was pretty remarkable. It was pretty amazing. So, I mean, like, not just like behind the first row, literally my feet were touching the wood. And literally I was trying to like do this to see if I could get on the court. Like I was trying to do that number. And so the game was going on, and you could just feel the intensity. You could, you know, not in the game, but you're like right on the game, and you can hear the players talking to each other. You don't get to hear that on TV, and you get to read lips. Only if they have words that, you know, you can really do that with. And so you feel the intensity. And so it was crazy, because they're taking orders behind you. You don't have to get up and get snacks or, you know, wait in lines for concessions. They literally just come and take your order and bring it to you. And it doesn't come in plastic. It comes in, you know, containers that actually look like real plates. And so it was really cool. And so all of a sudden we're in the middle of the game, and they were playing the Supersonics. And if you go know basketball, Sean Kemp was a huge player for the Sonics, and he was running down the field, the court. And all of a sudden I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that ball's coming towards us. And he literally jumps out of bounds, flips the ball back, and lands across us. He is a big individual. He's like 6'8", 6'10", beast of a man. And he laid across it. So it kind of hurt, because he came with some force, and I was pinned up against the seat. And then I thought, Sean Kemp's on me. I'm in the middle of a Suns game. This is crazy. And then he got up off of us, and he's like, sorry, guys. And he jumps back into play. And I looked down, and literally, there was sweat literally across my shirt, across my friend's shirt, and I just looked and I was like, my excitement level went from yay to ugh. And then it went back to whoo. But isn't sometimes the closer you get to the game, the messier it gets? Or the more unpredictable the game of life can be? Just like you're sitting at a sporting event, where you sit in your spiritual life means a whole lot. One of the core values we have here at Element City Church is the bleachers are the cheap seats, or avoid the bleachers. And this is why. If you can turn with me to Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared us in advance to do. I don't know about you, but what that Bible verse said is he prepared in advance for us to do something, to do good works. He wants us in the game. He's created us and our life, and when we follow him, he's created that opportunity for us to be active and do things for him. But I want to talk to you. Some of you may be thinking, well, do we have to do good works to be a Christian? Or do we have to act that way to earn God's favor? No, we are saved by grace through faith, believing in Jesus. We don't have to work. We don't have to work. Our works won't get us into heaven. We are saved through grace by our faith. But, hear me out. But we do good works because we are believers in Jesus Christ, or because we are Christians, not to become one. Do you hear me? We do not have to do works to become a Christian, but because we are one, God expects us to do good works. We are God's handiwork. We are created in his image. And there are several reasons why we are created in God's image, and why he said that we need to do good works. When we engage in good works, we are fulfilling our purpose for which God has created us and saved us. When we are doing good works and we believe in Jesus Christ and we are following him with our whole heart and our whole mind, and we engage in it, we engage in serving others and doing things, we're like a ship that was designed to sail on water. We're like a Ferrari on the Autobahn. Some of you guys might like that. No, really. And a Christian, when we're doing good works, we are designed. We're not designed to sit back and just golf clap on life and say, how you doing? Yay. We're designed to do good works. I believe Jesus' intent was for us to be active participants in people's lives and the life of the church. Brandon mentioned earlier about all the being a fan or being a, you know, the Red Sox fans, they're everywhere. We can be a fan of Jesus. We can stay at a distance at a special event and kind of participate. We can attend an event once a week. Or the commitment's too hard to be active in something or committed to it. And so we can just stand in the bleachers and just watch things and eat and be comfortable. Not very much is required of us when we sit in the bleachers. There's no training. Did you guys get trained to sit? Did you, or does it kind of just happen? But God has created us to be more than just fans. Each of us are to be the church every day. Let me say that again. Each of us are supposed to be the church every day. We are equipped and we are gifted and we are on God's team. And he has created us in his image to do works that he has created for us to do. He wants us to be a 7 day a week, 24 hour a day believer in Jesus Christ. Not just a 1 day a week or a 2 days a week or whenever I need to act that way to fit in. Sitting in the bleachers, life can pass you by. You can get distracted, you can move, you can do whatever you want, and there's really not accountability. And so I've told my kids, and if you ask my kids this, you can ask them afterwards, and I've told many people this, is in the Lee family, we don't live on the sidelines. I tell my kids, you know what, you're not going to live on the sidelines. If I ask you to do something, we're going to do it full-heartedly, we're going to engage in it, and we're going to go after it. We're going to be involved in things. Things may not be comfortable, but we're going to do it as a family, we're going to do it as a community, and we're going to get through it. So I'm going to challenge you on some things. And there's three or four things that I really want you to grab hold of. If you have a pen, write them down, because I'm going to hold you accountable to these. So when I ask you, if I send you an email or a text, I would like to know where some of these answers are, okay? You guys ready? So how do we avoid the bleachers? We're in the game. God has allowed us to be in the game, and we are engaged in who he is and his plans to serve others and to work and volunteer and to help others. We make a decision to kind of step out of that by our decisions. And so, first of all, the guys in the room are going to freak out about this, so don't, just bear with me. The first thing we need to do is DTR our relationship with Jesus. What does DTR mean? Define the relationship. Because some of you may, let me ask you some questions. Where is your relationship with Jesus right now? Are you fully committed to following him? Are you sitting on the fence with a foot in each world? Are you still searching for him? You may not know or may not understand fully what the journey looks like for Jesus. You may be there. Are you trusting in the promises that are coming in his word? Are you still trying to control everything in your life? Do you believe you were created for a purpose? Do you believe that you were created for a purpose? So what you're going to do with those questions is you need to spend this next week or the next day, or you can maybe, you already know where you are with Jesus. Maybe you are fully rock solid, linked in, ready to go, and you're pursuing him. You're in the game. And then you just thank him for that. But if you can answer those other questions, like you're on both sides of the fence, you need to define who you are in Christ. What's your identity in Christ? And if it's not, if you are struggling, say, God, I want to be in the game. I don't want to sit in the bleachers anymore. And you just answer those questions and have a conversation with him. Two, avoid the bleachers. And if you're already, we want to avoid the bleachers, right? That's what we want to do. We don't want to go to the bleachers. We want to stay in the game. We want to be in the game. So if you've already, as you've heard us talk and ever we read in the scripture and you've kind of felt like you know what, I'm in the bleachers. I've kind of settled. I'm comfortable. I've got my chair and I've got my nachos and I'm kind of really cool just coming to church one day a week or doing my Bible study, doing my devotion, but I'm really not serving or I'm just kind of comfortable where I'm at. Let's figure out what that looks like. Why are you there? It's comfortable to be in the bleachers. It's comfortable of the noise in the stadium when everyone else is cheering and crowded and they're judging what's going on in the field and everyone's got an opinion and you're having this conversation. You're like, oh, look at those guys. They're working really hard. Yay, good job. And then they come to ask and you don't want to help. There's so many noises going on in your life. I was reading an article the other day sorry for any of you 49er fans that got beat by the Seahawks, but I was reading a technical paper that they were taking loud measurements of the Seahawks stadium, And if you know anything about sound or decibels, I'll give you an instance. At certain times of that game, there was 137 dB measured in that stadium. A jet plane on takeoff is about 118 decibels. That's loud. And everyone in the bleachers were creating that. And so we get, I think that's a picture of what I want you guys to think of is look at all the noise in our lives. Look at all the noise, the stuff that we fill our lives with. The noise that we create. I think I was speaking to some high school students last night and I asked them, I said, what causes the most confusion in your life? Or what causes you the most grief? And every single one of the 10 people that I asked said Facebook. I was shocked because I thought Facebook, Instagram, texting, phones, that's the way that they communicate. And I said, well, why? Why is that a problem? And they said, because my expectations of how my life is, and then I go to the compare game and I measure it, then I feel bad about myself, and then I work really hard to do this and to do that and to meet the expectations that I'm seeing with all my friends. How many of you are trying to live up to what the world has to offer? Standing in the bleachers, in the noise, not engaged in the game, but trying to see who's sitting next to you or who's sitting right of you and how you're trying to measure your life. And so my question is, he has a plan for us. He has a purpose. He's created us, and he wants you to be an active part in it. So what is the noise that is stopping you? What is the thing that is stopping you from achieving the works that he's already asked you to do, that he is out there set for you to do? So maybe use a subtraction method in your life. If you're having trouble hearing God, if you can't answer those questions earlier about where your relationship is and you're DTRing with God, you can't hear, maybe you need to subtract something out of your life. Maybe you need to get your face out of Facebook and seek his face. Maybe you need to take some time away from work. Maybe you need to take some time and from a relationship that's causing you to think negatively. What are you gonna take out of your life? What are you gonna subtract out of your life to see if you can hear better? I've challenged some of you in this room to something. It's a 30-day challenge. 30-day challenges like this. And Lyle and I have a joke about this, about ice cream. So this may apply to us, Lyle. So if you can go without 30 days without affecting you in something, like if it's Facebook, if it's alcohol, if it's whatever it is, and you can go with 30 days without affecting you, then it really is not making an impact on your life. But if you say, hey, you know what, I'm gonna go 30 days without Facebook, and your desire and you feel like you are tempted all the time to do it and you can't do it, then maybe the pull of that, the noise of that, is distracting you and putting you in the bleachers. So think. I'll give you a second. Think of something, maybe a couple things, that are causing you to be separated or not to be able to hear because it's so loud. Let's go back and read Ephesians. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. He has stuff for us to do. And we forfeit it because we're just comfortable sitting in the bleachers, not wanting to engage it out of fear or out of distraction or out of anything. So I'm going to challenge you. Subtract something for a week, for 4 days, for 5 days, and see how you're affected by it. And if you can do it for 5 days, why not do it for 10 days? If you can do it for 10 days, why not do it for 20? I'm not asking you to quit everything, cold turkey, but just try something and see how God's voice changes or how clearly you can hear him. Does that make sense? Ooh, there's enthusiasm right there. All right, and so the third thing that we need to do to understand where God is and to avoid the bleachers is we need to give back somewhere outside yourself. Not one time. Hold on. I think when I say go do something, I think there's two categories it falls into. One, I think it's maybe we go and do something, a one-time event that alleviates our guilt. It means, oh, wow, I gave $5 to the guy at the corner to go buy whatever he asked me for, but really what he wasn't asked me for to buy, but I feel better because I gave him $5. Or we buy someone a meal, or we do something like that. It's a one event. Or we go and we feed the homeless on Thanksgiving, and we feel better because our guilt is lessened. Has anybody been there? I have. So what I'm asking you is to own something, to own a lifestyle of serving, and have a lifetime of it. Not just, you know what, I'm going to do it this time. But how does your life not become a check the box? How do you look at every opportunity that God puts in front of you? Because he already said he has some purposes he's already designed for you. So how are you opening up your eyes to see those things daily? We need to own that we were created to do good works because the sacrifice that Jesus gave on the cross was the ultimate sacrifice. He gave himself on the cross. And we complain when we have to do something for someone else. And some of you in this room, don't hear me, you serve. And I'm not telling you that you don't. But do you have a lifestyle of serving others and doing good works because the sacrifice that Jesus gave on the cross? And I'm not saying just serve here at church. Some people, that's another check the box that we enter. You know what? Brian, back off. I serve on a team here at church. I work with kids, or I work in the technical department. I greet people. Back off, buddy. I'm not saying that. I'm very thankful for that. Since I'm in charge of that and everything that runs around here is done with volunteers, I love it. So don't take that I'm being hard here. But what does it look like not here? What does it look like in your workplace? What does it look like at your school? What does it look like in a family situation that you don't like or you don't feel like you were or wanted? How does it look like to serve and to do good works inside those groups so they can see the cross and the sacrifice in the Jesus that you believe in? It's all about being intentional. Every morning, some mornings I do this, some mornings I don't, before my feet hit the floor, and I have a little small part of my, before I hit my bed, is very close to the wall, and I think the older I get and the more I eat, I think it gets smaller, but maybe it's just me. But I try every day, and I say, God, invite me to where you are today. Invite me where you want to be. I want to be in where you are. I want to do the things that you want me to do, that you've planned me to do, that you have me to do. Please. I plead with them all the time. Some mornings, I don't. I forget. The kids are running crazy, or I'm late, and I don't do those things. But the times that I ask God, hey, invite me into stuff today, inevitably, there will be a time where I have to make a decision. I have to make a choice whether to ignore it and go into the bleachers or take a right turn and get into the game. A couple weeks ago, I was pulling down Wilmont and I was on Broadway almost to Wilmont, right where the Burger King and stuff is right there. And I drive a big, large SUV and I was cruising, not paying attention. And all of a sudden, traffic just stopped in front of me. And finally, I'm glad I stopped. And there was a Volvo in front of me, and she had her hazard lights on, And everyone was giving her the bird, yelling and screaming and swerving and all this kind of stuff. And this car was just sitting there. And I had prayed that prayer in the morning. And I said, God, just invite me to something today that I can just extend who you are. And God always has surprises, and it's messy sometimes, and sometimes it's dangerous. And so he's like, this is the time, Brian. I invited you to this. And I'm like, invite me to what? I said it audibly in the car. Invite me to what? She's like, you need to get out and help this lady off the road. There's cars just. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. I got somewhere to go. So I literally tried to pull around her so I could go by. Never was an opportunity. And so God said, just get out and push her on the side of the road. So I got out and I got behind the car. I actually knocked on the window. And she was an Asian lady. She barely spoke any English. And I was like, perfect. I was like, I have a last name Lee, but that's not going to help me in this moment. And so she looked at me and she had tears just running down her eyes. And she said, can you help me? And I said, yeah, that's why I'm here. And I said, just put it neutral. And so she put it neutral, and it was just right by the turn. And so I said, turn your heart real quick, and we'll push. Well, as we started to push, two cars, one in the turn lane, one in the inside lane, we were in the middle lane, vroom, three or four cars. I literally thought my life was over because, they were moving. And so I was like, God, just keep us safe. So they started screeching and stopping. And so we got her in the car, and I looked back, and here's the excursion in the middle of the road with the doors open and it's blinking. Literally, there's cars coming. They're not slowing down. They're swerving. They're doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, God, you're gonna wreck the vehicle. What are you doing? And he's like, Brian, that was for you today. That lady was there for you today. I didn't tell her about Jesus. I barely even talked to her. I said, put it in neutral. Put it in neutral. And I got back in the car, and there was people flipping me off and yelling at me and telling me to go because the light was green. And so I started the car, and I pulled off. And I was like, well, that was ridiculous. And he goes, don't think that the little things like pushing a car aren't designed for you. And I was humbled. I was humbled in that moment. Because how many times have I chose not to listen? And I've chosen to be comfortable and stay in my air-conditioned car and not help someone. Or say, you know what, that's going to be too messy. That's too messy. I don't want to get involved in that divorce of my friend. Or I don't want to get involved in that. Or I don't want to get involved with that person that maybe is going through an addiction. And God teaches me day in and day out. I fail miserably. I sit my high knee on the bleachers all the time. But God wants us in the game. He wants us to own that we have the cross, that he has designed us, he's created us to do good works for the works that he's planned us to do. You hear me, church? Again, wow. We do good works because we are Christians. Not to become Christians. Christians do good works in the natural. Uh-oh, hold on. Yes, I'm right. We do good works not to float our own ego or to gain favor with God. We already have favor with God. But we do good works to help other people understand who our God is. Jack talked last week about being the church, not a building, but a movement. Do you guys understand that? That we're not a church. We're not we are the studs in the room, but we are not the structure. The infrastructure of this building is not define who we are. But we are the people that God has designed for us to be a movement. We can't just sit back on the bleachers and clap our team on. We need to own that we are a church, a people, a gathering of people that is going to reach Tucson for his kingdom and his purposes, not for our own, but so that we can engage in the game of life with people that maybe are more broken than we are. Remember, we are a movement of people. We are not bleacher sitters clapping our hands saying, good job, good job. We need to be in the game doing what God's asked us to do and the only thing that we can do. There may be things that may happen tomorrow that God's going to ask you to do that only you can do. And you need to be willing and humbled to do it, that God has designed that for you to do. As we go into communion tonight, I mean, I throw in a lot at you, but I want you to just get that. We at Element City Church don't want to be sitting in the bleachers, a church that's sitting in the bleachers, clapping for things that God is doing. We want to be willing and humble to go out, stay out of the bleachers, and be in the work that God has for us to do so that we can see his kingdom grow. And a lot of you are like, okay, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what to do. And that's why we need to DTR the relationship. That's why we need to figure out where you are with God. And then we need to see what the noise in your life is about or what is distracting you and work out the subtraction, subtract something out of your life, put a time frame on it, and see if you're if you can hear a little bit better God's voice. And three, we need to figure out somewhere to serve, somewhere to be active, to do good works. And it doesn't have to be here, even though I would love for it to be here and somewhere else. But finding someone or something to do that meets a need outside in the world so that we can reach people that are in the world that don't know who Christ is. We take communion each week, and it is a semblance of God's blood and his body that he sacrificed on the cross for us. And before we do that, and the band will come up and play some music, I want to read a scripture that, oddly enough, I found on Facebook. I use Facebook a little bit differently than some. I don't respond a lot on it, but I follow people to see where they are so I can pray for them. And that sounds really goody two-shoes. I didn't mean it that way, but this scripture rocked my world this week. And I'm just going to, as I find it, I just want you to just close your eyes. And I just want you to listen as we've talked about being in the game and as we've talked about subtracting things out of our life and not being in the bleachers. I just want you to listen to the scripture and just listen to your heart. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to pray. So just close your eyes and just whatever you can to just focus on Jesus and your heart and right now. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release darkness from the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild ancient ruins and restore the places along devastated. They will renew cities that have been devastated by generations. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to be a church that renews our city from devastation. Lord, we want to be a people that can mourn with those who mourn. Lord, we want to be everything that just this passage says. Lord, we want to grieve with those who grieve. We want to release those in darkness. And we want to rebuild your kingdom here in Tucson. And Lord, help us do that as we engage in you and as we develop our relationship with you and we define, hey, Jesus, I need you. I need a U-turn in my life. I need to get back with you. Lord, and as we figure out our journey and we figure out where we are, Lord, show us, invite us to the things that you have planned for us. Lord, they're messy and they'll interrupt our schedule and they'll disturb us. But Lord, thank you for giving those moments for us so that we can build our faith, so that we can do good work, so that other people can see you through our deeds. God, you are powerful and you are mighty. And Lord, you have created us to not sit and be idle, but to go and do what you've asked us to do. Lord, as we take communion, Lord, just bring things into our hearts and our minds of things that we can do. Invite us to things. And Lord, convict us of what has maybe put us high in the bleachers, not wanting to engage with others, not wanting to move where you want us to move. And Lord, let us just have this time where we can just say, I'm sorry. And so we can move forward, that we can own the cross, that we can own the sacrifice that you died for us, and that we can move and do the plans that you have for us. Amen.